you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the sign he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves and the fish that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many of you know that the church at Sunday Mass has a 3-year cycle of readings in the lectionary. And over the course of the 156 weeks in this 3-year cycle, what we begin today is the 5 most important of them all. More important than the annual 4-week cycle we have in Advent. More important than the annual 6-week cycle we have during Lent. Even more important than the 7-year cycle we have each Easter season. Today Jesus begins a 5-week cycle on the most important reality in Christian life. What distinguishes a life that's truly Christian. What the fathers of the Second Vatican Council said is supposed to be the source and the summit of a Christian life. The starting point from which everything flows and the goal toward which everything is to be directed. Jesus today begins a cycle on the Holy Eucharist and about the way we're supposed to respond to this gift and help the entire world respond to this gift. Today's second reading, St. Paul told the Ephesians and he tells us in Fall River, "Live in a manner worthy with the calling you have received." Now over the course of these 5 weeks, Jesus is going to describe that calling, and he's going to give us all the help he knows we need in order to live up to that calling. Jesus will teach us who he is, remaining with us until the end of time, and indicate to us how we are to draw our life from his life and his love. Today in the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish, we have what could be called the introduction to this cycle on the Eucharist. Since anybody who's ever read a mystery novel knows, and the sacraments are always mysteries, if you're going to understand the introduction and all that it means, you need to look at it from behind. You need to see how that mystery is unveiled, and then you're able to figure out some of the elements in the introduction. And therefore, for us to understand the depth of this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, we have to look at it from the other 4 stages on this catechesis Jesus is going to give us. What are those steps that we're going to cover between now and August 23rd. First step we'll get next week. It happens after this miracle. Jesus, because they were going to make him king, went away to pray. The disciples got into a boat and crossed the Sea of Galilee in a boat. Jesus starts walking on water, and everybody who had been fed by Jesus saw that the disciples had taken off. They couldn't see whether Jesus was in the boat. They say, "Let's go." And so this crowd of 5,000 men, probably their 5,000 wives, and probably their 10 or 15,000 kids, all start walking, a journey of 20, 25,000 people along the upper lip of the Sea of Galilee, from Bethsaida, where he worked this miracle, all the way down to Capernaum. And they were there, waiting when Jesus got there. And so Jesus' reaction was what? It was challenging. It wasn't, "I'm excited that you've come." He says, "You have come because you've eaten your fill of the loaves." In other words, you're coming for another free meal. And he said, "Don't labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that will endure to eternal life." Here in Fall River, there are a lot of hardworking people who work 40 hours, 60 hours or more, doing tough work in order to put food on their tables. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is saying, as hard as you work for that food, for your earthly survival, work even harder for the food that endures to eternal life. In the opening prayer of the Mass today, we prayed that God would give us the strength to pass from earthly things to the things that ever endure. And that's what Jesus is trying to lead us on. The multiplication of the loaves and the fish were a sign, Jesus said, pointing to the way he wants to feed those deeper spiritual hungers and lead our life to eternity. Shift from hungering for the things of this world to hungering for him. And they would respond when he told them that, "Sir, give us this bread always." And that's what Jesus' plan, in fact, is to do, as he was going to reveal in the successive stages. So after they've now got the hunger, the next stage is Jesus revealed, "I am that living bread come down from heaven. I am that food of eternal life. And you must gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood to have life in you." And he describes an analogy that they would have known very well, that their ancestors, the Israelites, when they were in those 40 years of the desert, that God fed them miraculously from manna and quails every day. He rained down manna and they would go on out and they would eat it. He said that just like your ancestors ate that manna, so God wants to feed you. But your ancestors who ate the manna still die. But the one who eats this bread, and I am the bread of life, will live forever. Second stage. They wanted to have that bread given always, and that's precisely the prayer that God the Father has heard. But we have to confront an objection that some of the times we have. Many of us think we don't really, 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 really need the Eucharist. Hey, there are plenty of Catholics who blow off Jesus on Sundays who aren't in these pews. They're still breathing. Their heart's still ticking. Jesus must be exaggerating here, right? In order for us to answer that question, we have to know a little Greek. St. John's Gospel was written in Greek. There are two words for life in Greek. One is bios. We get the word biology from it. It's the life that plants have. It's the life that animals have. It's the basic animal life that human beings have. What makes the whole system work. Jesus isn't using the word bios when he says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Jesus is using the word Zoe. Little girls are named Zoe today, right? I mean, that's the Greek word for life. And it's a higher form of life. It's the life of the soul. And yes, we can have bios without Jesus in Holy Communion. But what Jesus is basically saying is we can't have this Zoe. And just like the ancient Israelites in the desert, could they go a day without eating the manna and still make it? Of course they could. Could they go a week? In the desert, that would be pushing it, but yes, they could still do it. But they couldn't go perpetually without it. Jesus is trying to describe that when we go without him in the Eucharist, our souls are going to shrivel up. They're going to start being malnourished and starve to death. And Jesus wants to meet that deeper hunger. If we have Zoe, if we have this life together with Jesus, then when our bios on this world ends, our death will be nothing other than a change of address to the eternal wedding banquet. And that's the life Jesus wants to give us, not just later, but now, so that we can suck our life blood from Him. Draw our whole life from Him. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's the second stage. Third stage. Many of the Jewish disciples of Jesus, those who had just eaten this incredible miracle, those who had watched Him heal a man of a withered hand, make a paralytic walk again, heal various lepers, cast out demons for many, those who had already heard Him preach, said what? This teaching is hard. Who can stand it? Who can endure it? As if Jesus would never challenge us to do something hard. He who tells us you've got to pick up your cross every day and follow me. As if He wouldn't tell us to do something challenging. Who can endure it? Let's be honest, it's gross. If your mom said to you, you must eat my flesh, or your dad said, tonight instead of water, we're going to drink my blood, we would be sickened. And that's what Jesus was saying. And so many of His disciples, those who had already followed Him, just left Him. Too hard, Jesus. You're asking me to go beyond my comfort zone. Au revoir. It's important for us to confront how hard that teaching is. I think many of the reasons why we don't find it hard is because we don't really take it seriously enough. What Jesus is saying is, what's going to happen later on in this Mass is the eternal God who created the heavens and the earth, who took on our flesh, preached the words we hear today, walked on water, died on Calvary, rose from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, comes down in this altar. That if you had just a tiny little particle of the Eucharist here, and all the money in the world over here, you'd be far richer if you had this little particle. That's what He's saying. That's the reality. And most of us don't really confront that truth. Because I'm convinced if we really were to confront it, our whole life would change dramatically. When I was 18, freshman at Harvard, the light bulb finally went off for me. I recognized this really was Jesus. I had never really said that it wasn't. But the consequences of the real presence of Jesus had never really struck me. And I recognized God comes down every day. What am I doing? What could be more important on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday than coming to receive God, than just being in His presence? From that day when I was 18 until this day when I'm 45, I have never once, thanks be to God, missed Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Because this really is God. And if we believe that, and if we love Him, then we're going to try to do everything we can to come to receive Him. It might not be possible for us to receive Him every day, but our hunger should be for Him. If we really believed that this was Jesus, we'd get rid of our televisions. Because here in the city of Fall River, there are many churches in which Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is available for us to go speak with God at any time. And if it's really God and we love Him and we recognize He's got the key to that unlocks the mystery of our heart, that He is the answer to every real existential question we'll ever have, our whole priorities are going to be reordered. But a lot of the times we just don't live that way yet. And that's why Jesus' teaching that we need to draw our life from Him and eat His flesh and drink His blood, we don't find it as hard as it ought to be. And that goes to the last stage, what's going to happen on August 23rd. Jesus, after watching so many of His disciples walk away, turns to His closest followers, the 12, and says, "Do you also want to leave me?" That's when St. Peter stood up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now that might not seem like a direct answer to Jesus' question, but here's what Peter was saying. Jesus, I don't have the foggiest clue of how you're going to give me your flesh and blood to eat. And in fact, I'm as disgusted as those people who just left. I don't know how that's going to happen. But because I believe in you, I believe in what you say. If you say I have to eat and drink your blood, somehow I know you're going to give it to me, and somehow I'm going to do it because I trust you. It would be exactly 1 year later during the Last Supper, the next Passover, when Jesus would take bread and wine into his hands and totally change him into his body and blood and say, take and eat, take and drink, that Peter ate the flesh of the Son of Man and drank his blood. And the church has been feasting on that miracle of the multiplication ever since. Jesus is at the end of this five-week cycle going to say the same thing to us. Do you want to leave me? 3/4 of Catholics don't come to Mass on Sunday. Do you want to be with them? Or even better, for those of us who do come faithfully every week as God demands, for our own good. He says, do you really want to be here? Are you here just because it's a religious duty? Or are you here because you're hungry for me? Because you know you need me. And you know that the greatest gift I could ever give you is not Donald Trump's wealth. Not Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie's looks. The greatest gift I could ever give you, I give you here. That's what this cycle is all about. To transform us so that we hunger in this way. Now with that, we can come to today's gospel to understand the introduction. And there are 2 points in it. It might seem on the surface that it's just about the miracle Jesus worked to feed the multitude, but it's really about how we're supposed to approach him in the Eucharist, because this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish was pointing to the miracle of the Mass. So the first thing is the way we're supposed to prepare. Jesus looked at that crowd of 25,000 people. He said, how are we going to feed them? And Philip says, not even 200 days' wages. Just think about what your annual salary is. Let's just say it's $40,000. Not even $24,000 would be enough to feed that crowd. And all they have are 5 popsicles and 2 sardines. And Jesus says, good. Have everybody sit down. And we know how the rest of the miracle worked. Now, he who had created the heavens and the earth, he who had created all the fruit-bearing trees, he who had created all the animals, could have, at a moment's notice, rained down filet mignon and fine red wine for everybody to feast on. He didn't need anybody's help. But he wanted it. So he started with what was given and multiplied it to feed the whole multitude. Likewise with the Mass, he doesn't need our contributions. He could do it all himself, but he doesn't want to. He made grains and grapes. He could have started with grains and grapes. But instead, he starts with the raw materials of bread and wine. How do we get from grains to bread and grapes to wine? So we pray in the offertory prayers. It's the fruit of the earth and the vine, God's gift, but also the work of human hands. He wants our work involved with his saving work. We have the offertory at that time in which we're supposed to really sacrifice for God and the needs of the church. And then the priest prays, pray, brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, mine and yours, may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. We are called to unite all that we are with this. That's the way we prepare. Some days, we might have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Some days we may have 50 loaves and 200 fish. Some days we may have just breadcrumbs. But whatever we have, God wants. He wants all that we've got so that he can feed a vast multitude. And then the second thing we see in this scene today is Jesus easily could have gone throughout the entire crowd and fed everybody himself. You might notice that when he cured people, he never did mass curings. He went one by one, even though he was exhausted. And he was used to exhaustion. He could have fed every single family there himself. No. After he had done the miracle, he had the church, he had those 12 distribute his gift to the infamished crowd. And that points to the way he wants us to collaborate with his great miracle. There are so many people out there, sometimes without even knowing it, who are hungering for Jesus. They're lost. They're trying to find God in drugs. They're trying to find God in promiscuity. They're trying to find God in earthly gurus. They're never going to find Him there. We're made for this. We're made for Him. And they're like sheep without the good shepherd who's on our altars. And Jesus wants us to go out with our faith and feed them. You know, how unbelievable it would be if you were to go to your friends, your family members, your neighbors, and just say, this morning I heard Jesus Christ speak to me. And Jesus Christ came to Main Street, Fall River, and fed me. That's what really happens here. One of my jobs for the church now at the United Nations is to help prepare Pope Francis's visit to New York. And at the UN, it's the toughest ticket of them all. And so we've got everybody calling. We even had presidents call us this week. And there's only so much we can do. And it's a great thing that so many people, including the most famous people in the world, want to have some time with Pope Francis, just to be in his presence. We say bravo to that. But here's the truth. Pope Francis's divine boss comes down here on this altar every single week. If Pope Francis were coming here next Sunday, you and I both know there wouldn't be any room in this church. And Jesus Christ is coming here next week. And Jesus wants us to go out and fill the wicker baskets with people who need this celestial nourishment. That's what this five-week series is all about. That's why it's the most important 5 weeks of the 156 that we go through every lectoral cycle in the church. Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, give us today our daily bread. And God the Father has never once refused that prayer. He has fed us every single day. But He not only gives us the means to put foods on our table back home, but He puts His Son here to nourish us. And the reason was because He loved us so much that He didn't think any other nourishment was worthy of our soul but Him. Let's prepare by giving everything we can. Let's go out and bring other people here so that when Jesus says, Do you wish to be someplace else? Do you wish to leave me? We will say with Peter, No, Lord. You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe that You are the Holy One of God and that You not only come to the church, but You enter into me. This is the good news we're called to share with the whole world. Let's get to work.